The Final Play Podcast would like to welcome you to the following presentation of the National Rugby League. I think this song will dedicate it to the chins of NRL players.
Well, I was about to say until you said I'd give anyone two guesses why we picked this song, Abuse Me by Silverchair. Fully, well, a full disclaimer, not because of abuse, just because of NRL. The abuse is, oh my God. Oh, hello,
that's
everyone.
That's what I mean. That's what's happening at the moment is NRL players' chins are being abused.
And we'll talk about it later, but and then coaches are abusing the loophole. But anyway, welcome everyone to
yes,
the Final Play
yes,
Podcast.
Yes, they are.
Round 11 of the NRL. We'll go through this round, and no doubt you'll hear us talk about, you know, not every play that goes in reports, because we may as well add another hour to the pod. But we'll talk
The send-offs and reports continue.
We'll talk about all the games, and then right at the end we'll give you sort of our preview of what we think New South Wales and Queensland sides will be. So
stay tuned.
I'd personally tell you it might seem easy, but mine was actually harder than many other years for New South Wales.
Oh, dude, no way. I would not have liked to have envied doing a New South Wales team if you want to sift through who's suspended, who's injured, who's eligible.
Well, I had to do a late change, obviously. We'll talk about that. I had to do a late change. We'll talk about that.
You would have after Saturday night.
But the first game was, and I text you about this saying, why do they play Cowboys on Thursday games? But the Cowboys won anyway, 36-20.
Look, if we can guarantee a win every time we play on Thursday night, then I'll have Thursday night games up here every week. It's not the most ideal time slot for up here, just you know, due to the fact that a lot of fans travel far and wide, you know, to come to the Cowboys games, whether it's Cairns, Charters Towers, you know, Ingham.
Essentially, even if you eliminate all that, Townsville is, you know, rural, you know, if we're comparing it to Sydney, and kids just, your parents won't take them to a Thursday night thing because Friday they got to go to school the next day.
Yeah,
it's different in Sydney and all that, where it's not so much kids, but you've got so many more adults that could go out on a Thursday night. That is the difference.
Thursday night football for me, it's not the best. And the only reason that the NRL does it is because they don't want to have the AFL playing on a Thursday night and them having a captive audience. And that's the only thing.
Yeah. Oh,
I'm so glad they scrapped Monday as well. But you know, I don't understand why we just can't have 2 Friday, 3 Saturday, 3 Sunday. Like it just makes no sense. Like you're never going to be able to go really, you know, toe to toe with the AFL just purely on, you know, the amount of, you know, bums on seats that they get and the TV deal. You're just never going to compete with it. So just make the people that are within your game and the fans of your game happy.
Not that it bothered the Cowboys. They were red hot in that first 15, 20 minutes.
They were
scorching. Well, one person, well, you know, it wasn't just him, but Murray Tewalagi was just, scorching, literally.
Both edges. Tewalagi and Kyle Felt were on fire. They were just torching Newcastle down the edges. Kyle Felt had 4 line breaks.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, and he topped the run meters too, which... It's pretty rare when you got Tamalolo in the side, just because you're used to seeing Tamalolo.
Well, that's a result from 4 line breaks. So, and I guess it took, you know, it took some ill discipline by North Queensland, you know, within 3 minutes of each other with Tamalolo getting Tamalolo getting binned, and then Lachlan Burr getting binned for the second week in a row. And you know that creates a huge advantage when it's 11 on 13 and Newcastle 100% capitalized on it.
Yeah, what once they did, but not at the red hot. I mean, the red hot start that the Cowboys had regardless was just awesome. It was 16-0, and I felt like I just went somewhere for 10 minutes and came back and went, Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I had to watch the replay of this game. I missed the start of it because I was at work, and then all of a sudden, it just a scorching start. Like you said, scorching start to the game, and it really spelled trouble, I think, for Newcastle if the Cowboys didn't get those two players binned within three and a half minutes of each other. That Newcastle were rattled absolutely from the get-go, and they were having trouble getting back in this game.
Yeah, they were. They were having big trouble to get back in this game. I think we said this last week, but it sort of rained through in this game against. I mean, the Cowboys are really doing above the expectations that I thought personally for the Cowboys, this year.
Absolutely, they are.
But the Knights, glaringly, I'm sure we said this last week, but it rained through this week. Their makeup of their squad isn't good, really. At the end of the day, they're one to seven. I won't say like the forwards are phenomenal, you know. Really,
they've got a good pack, but it's just last year it was, you know, them going down to their fourth string dummy half. This year, it's a makeshift pairing of halves that give you little to no creativity. Like they had Blake Green in this week, you know, he come back into the side. They had to rush him back into the side for a little bit of stability, but it just doesn't help creative wise. He doesn't really scare you when you're inside the 20. When Kalen Ponga is on, when he's there actually playing, he hasn't played for the last couple of weeks. Our boy Tex has been at fullback, but he's just not as dangerous as what Kalen is. Annoying.
Tex wasn't even in the squad. He was on the reserve, which is annoying.
Yeah, that's just like why are they doing this? Like I just. Yeah. Just they're the makeup of it, like he's just got to be there.
Even their centers and their, you know, and their winger, like their Brayden Musgrove, he's only just played the last couple of weeks, you know, he's only just debuted the last. So their 1-7 is, I'm not going to put it down to Pierce. I reckon their whole 1-7, because, well, minus Ponga, is just in all sorts, personally, and they exposed it.
With Kurt Mann at the back. Yeah. Like I just don't understand. Like, you know, like we've said this year, they're really sort of boxing and bottling up the ways that they can use Connor Watson, because he's been a jack of all trades since he's gone there. He's played fullback, he's played in the halves, he's played dummy half, he's played off the bench, he's played lock, he's been there and everything. And I don't know, it's just like they're boxing him up. I don't understand.
This guy that I'm about to name isn't the coach, but do you think, because he's an assistant coach, that it feels very Anthony Seibold-like, and he's the assistant coach there, is what's happening in the Newcastle Knights. I mean, I don't know whether
their attacking structures are too complicated, but they clearly don't have the cattle to be able to execute a very complex game plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. When it comes to creativity.
Yeah.
Like I think that's glaringly obvious. They just don't pose a lot of threats.
Cowboys just exposed them. They really exposed them very, very well. And their kicking game for the Cowboys was good. I mean, I don't think anyone's going to upstart Scott Drinkwater at number six. Before he signed the new contract, it's like when he heard, you know, the two halves that were coming here, he's just got better, and he has gotten better.
He's as this season's gone on, like he was I think he might have lacked a little bit of confidence at the start of the season, but since the Cowboys have started to get rolling, and he's been a major, major part of it. His short kicking game is unbelievable, and that's why I think he is going to pair really, really well with Chad Townsend come next year, and we're going to have a $300,000 a year reserve grader running around for the Mackay Cutters in Tom Dearden, but you know, that's just the way it's going to go at the moment. You know, if you want to go deep in, you know, into the finals in this game, you got to have depth, and the Cowboys will have that. But that's obviously next year, and like you said, they're very much exceeding expectations this year. You know, after this game, they were in the top eight. Obviously, other teams had won throughout the week, but hovering around 10th position is no mean feat for what they've achieved this year, but at five wins, and there's a plethora of team on five wins at the moment.
Exactly, yeah, between 7 and 10, there's Dragons, Titans, Warriors, and Cowboys all on 10 points. So, and Seagulls are only just above with 12 points. So yeah, that's going to change the whole year. But they're in there, yeah, like. They're really, really.
Look, they're in the mix at the moment. They're probably not going to be hit terribly hard during the Origin period. You know, obviously
that's true.
We've got Val Holmes. That's basically going to be it. So you know you'll be able to shift a few people around. Lemuelu got hurt in this game, so they're going to be tested a little bit depth wise next week against the Warriors. They've also lost both the guys that were binned this week for a week. They've taken the early guilty plea, so Tamalolo and Lachlan Burr have both been suspended. So they're going to be tested a little bit next week depth-wise.
Well, speaking of the Warriors, they had a pretty good win at their home stadium down at Gosford, 30-26 over the West Tigers.
This was a really good game. I was kind of surprised at this. The Warriors and Reece Walsh just put on a show in that first half. And he was unbelievable. This was one of those, you know, stand up and take a look at me sort of moments with Reece Walsh and you know, Tuivasa Sheck going, you know, possibly whether it's initiated by him or whether, you know, Nathan Brown has sort of gotten in his ear and say, look, I want to play this kid at fullback. He has to be there. And Tuivasa Sheck is sacrificing being put out on the wing. It seems to be work. He's a real attacking weapon at the moment.
He is, but not for nothing. You're right. And that's exactly what happened.
And it's pushed. And the thing is, it's pushed, you know, a seasoned first grader and, you know, in Ken Mamalo out of the side, which they'll rue the day they did that, because Marcelo Montoya was disgraceful. I don't care if he scored 2 tries. He was terrible.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't mind Tuivasa Sheck, I was going to say, on the wing, because he's still top the run leaders.
Let's restart at the Roosters. He couldn't get inside because of Anthony Minicello.
He could be like a Brian Toto. And just run, like, do 20 runs and get over 250 meters.
Exactly. He doesn't mind the hard yards. He doesn't mind the hard, heavy runs.
Because I think, personally, Reece Walsh is extremely comfortable so far, I guess, at that number one. And he compliments, who I doubted this guy before, I guess, well, at the Broncos. But Cody Nikorama looks so set at number six. It's not funny.
He looks really good. Once again, we've said it before. His speed and his, you know, his nous around the ruck to be able to expose slow markers and a slow line of defense is getting better by the week. And you know, he's got almost the same as like we talked about before, Drinkwater. His short kicking game is really well.
Yeah,
he does that really well. And you've got, you know, Harris Tavita there, who's not so much, you know, a little bit more of a steadying sort of halfback, and that's the way that they're using them at the moment.
I will say, still full credit, and we'll move on, but the full credit to Tigers. They were definitely in this game.
Look, I like the move of Moses Mbai at 5'8". I think yes. I think he's working totally. So much. Look, Adam Dewey did great there.
Yeah.
But to put him at the, and that's the thing. Where are you going to put him? You have to put him in at the centers then. You can't really,
Laurie's
really replace Laurie because he's doing great at the back. So they've got to slot him in at the center.
Yeah. No, that
Moses Mbai is wasted at center, whereas Adam Dewey is a better, I think, a better complementary center than what Moses Mbai is. Moses Mbai is a playmaker, and he looks better playing at the number six. He just does.
Interestingly enough, if I'm looking at their 1-13, which I'm looking at now, I think that's their best makeup. I think they've, worked it out. I think they really have worked it out.
And with the amount of ball that they had to start that second half as well.
Yeah.
Like in the first 20, I think it was the first 22 minutes or 23 minutes of the second half, the Warriors had only completed 5 sets. Like they had no ball and they managed to be able, obviously a high scoring affair at 30-26, but they managed to be able to hold on long enough to be able to stop the Tigers' onslaught in the second half.
They lost every stat in that second half. It was like the missed tackles. They were up on every stat, and then it just flipped around. The tackle breaks, the Tigers took over. The missed tackles, the Tigers took over. In they had less.
And the thing that's the perseverance of it as well is the Warriors with 23 minutes to go all the way down to 3 minutes to go, basically played with 12 players. Because they had two guys binned, basically one after the other. So as soon as one come back on, there was another sin bin. So it was bizarre to sort of see in that regard how they were able to hold out.
Yeah. What do you think of the Warriors? I mean, look, like the Warriors as a whole, but I mean they're obviously playing away from home. They're another team that's on that 10 points. They're ninth on obviously for and against.
I think they're gritting out the season as best they can. I think I haven't heard a whole lot since the early rounds on when they're going to be able to return home. I did hear at the start, in those early rounds, that it was going to be around mid-June. I haven't heard anything really since then on when they're going to be able to return home and have home games back at Mount Smart Stadium.
Which I think they need to. I mean, it looks the good thing with them as marquee prop Adam Fanua-Blake looks like he's going to return from injury 2 months earlier than expected. So if he's going to come into that run of form towards the end, they're a smoky. At the start, they were a smoky at least to make the top eight, which I don't think so at the start. So, I like them. I was just reading Cody signed only about a week ago. Well, the Warriors took up Cody's option to stay at the club. So, I think that's smart for next year. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Fanua-Blake looks like he'll return 2 months. Oh, man, that's a big, big get. If he can return 2 months earlier, that'll be just finals. Sure.
I was a little confused that the back end of this game, when Tamo scored, was it 70? As soon as Tamo scored, right? I don't know if this sort of popped out to you, but as soon as Tamo scored, there's less than 90 seconds to go. The referee blows time off straight away. Why?
I don't know.
I don't understand. I understand the way that the NRL works now, that when in the last 5 minutes after the conversion has been taken, they blow time off so to stop people dawdling back to the restart, to the kickoff restart. So they started that in the last 5 minutes of the second half to blow time off. But what I don't understand is as soon as he scored the try, boom, he blew time off. It's like, well, I don't understand why. What? It doesn't happen throughout the rest of the game. So why blow time off there? It gives Adam Dewey all the time in the world to be able to kick the conversion. And it was fairly close to the sticks anyway, so it didn't really matter. But it just gave him all that time in the world because he knew he didn't have to worry about time, because there was only like 80 seconds left in the game. I don't understand why he blew time off. And then, just as Dewey is about to kick, he blows time back on. Four seconds elapse, and then he blows time off again. Like, I don't understand that. Like, it's coming towards the end of the game. I get the bit where, you know, why they're doing what they do. It's getting too late in the game. You just can't keep stopping the clock like that, willy nilly. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
I don't know. Like, I'm
that's what I mean. I don't understand why that happened. I don't get it.
It looked like, just for Tame, I was laughing because, yeah, he scored the try and everything, but I that second that he scored the try, it dawned on me how much older he's actually gotten, like, just for being at the Tigers. It's like he's aged like another 10 years. Because he looked really good at the Penrith, and it looks like he's aged 10 years.
I don't think he's liking what's going on there. Like, he's still playing really well, but
he would have signed that contract knowing that he was coming into full rebuild, full who knows what's going on kind of thing. So he would have known that.
Yeah, he would have known.
Next game was another entertaining game personally. The Sharks beating the Dragons, turning to 12. Entertaining because it doesn't bother me. I don't mind, watching games that have low scoring affairs, and then you just, both teams are gutting it out to get that win.
No, I don't mind the low scoring affairs. I do mind the horrendous attack that was happening throughout this game. And all I could think of was the Channel 9 executives that picked this game to be a marquee Friday night, Friday night game and everything of that. And basically, we all know how much the Channel 9 love the Broncos, and I'm sure they would have loved to have had the Broncos and Roosters on a Friday night, but they decided to go with this one. They must have just been beating their heads up against the wall watching both sides attack.
I agree.
Just watch. Cronulla did every single thing possible in this game to lose it, and they still ended up winning in Golden Point. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. The thing that
disappointed me the most about it, for a supposed, and the way that Fox League kept bringing it up, is the local derby in, inverted commas, not even 9,000 people at Cogra. Yeah. That's disgraceful on a Friday night. For a local derby, we had 22,000 people up here a couple of weeks ago for a Cowboys Broncos local derby.
Oh no, it is. It's
ridiculous. Can't even get 9,000 people.
It's a lot closer to the Sharks and Dragons than it is to Cowboys and Broncos in terms of like kilometers. So I guess it is a local
ridiculous.
Derby.
That's what I mean. I looked at Cogra Ovals. No one there.
Yeah, that's true.
Unbelievable.
It's funny that, although it was entertaining, I thought the same thing because I picked the Sharks. I went, like, are they just like teasing me because they just want to keep losing? Because that's how it felt. They just did everything. And I felt like they're doing the sin bins on purpose to lose. It was ridiculous. It was lazy.
That Herodi sin binning was milked beautifully by Cody Ramsey. Oh my lord, that was milked beautifully.
But the
cops that I can't remember if they said it last week or this week. Somebody said wouldn't even knock the skin off a custard tart. Like if he didn't have any facial hair, it wouldn't have touched his face. Like, and he goes down on the ground going, oh my God, my face is about to fall off. And Herodi gets binned. And it's like, give me a break. Like, but this, that's... and that's what I mean. We'll talk about this, after. But this is a dangerous game that rugby league is playing at the moment.
But by the sounds of it, I'm sure we'll talk about it a little bit later, but they're going to have to get used to it.
The funny thing is Cody Ramsey actually failed his HIA.
Yeah.
I don't understand. You could see they had it at multiple angles. It barely grazed him.
Yeah.
I don't know how. Over the back tackle.
Well, it's weird. I thought the same thing. It boggled me.
Even the HIA must be a crapshoot.
Well, that's what I was about to say, because it boggled me how he failed the HIA.
I have no idea. He looks slightly dazed.
But to fail it, he clearly has failed it. Because We'd have to delve right into how they do it, but from all accounts, the HIA is pretty accurate every single time. So, but yeah, no, there wasn't much to say in this game. I just found it entertaining, and that's the first thing that I come to mind is that. Well, I thought both teams they were trying to lose the game. I mean, Dragons felt like they were competing more, but still,
the Dragons were absolutely competing a whole lot better with an absolute slew of first graders not in this side. You know, whether it's injury or whether it's suspension. That's I mean, like you sort of feel, you know, for St. George Illawarra to lose, you know, in a golden point thriller like they did. You know, they traded field goals towards the end of the game. You thought that the Dragons absolutely had it after the major, major bundle by I can't think of who it was that they weren't looking at the 20-meter restart. And it might have even been Hirotti, and he wasn't looking at the 20-meter restart, and it was tapped, and it was thrown to him. It just bounces off his chest. He wasn't even ready for it.
I think it was Hirotti, because it was Hirotti.
I think it was Hirotti, and it's just like, oh my god, they've is he really just done that? He's just gifted the game to St. George, and they couldn't take advantage of it.
It was definitely Hirotti. Yeah, no, I do remember that. So.
We'll talk about it when we get to the Brisbane game. Like, you know, another massive bunt. I don't know, if you've seen that by Matt Ikavalu.
Yes.
Where he touches the ball before it actually goes out. Like it actually touches the ground dead, and the referee is just laying out the rules, and he's like, you've touched the ball while it's out before it's touched the ground. Like it was going to go out by a country mile. But he's trying to take advantage by grabbing the ball quickly so they can go get the 20-meter restart.
I didn't
really like it, but that's the rule.
That is the rule. I just remember when I was playing, like I never tempted, because you don't really, you know, the ball's coming to you. You don't always know where that line is. They're stretching that stupid leg out, and I hate when they look like they're doing the whole, you know, the whole. It's dumb.
Yeah.
And you, nine times out of ten,
I mean, it puts a lot of people off balance. You just.
Nine times out of ten, you either could knock the ball on, like you just said, or you could be not have the foot out, or you could be totally out. Like, you just. Yeah, it's such a dumb. Oh, I hate having that leg out. Unless it's on the sideline. I feel like the sideline's not too bad because, I don't know, the size's not.
It just depends on how much time you have. That's the thing. Well, it just depends on how much time you got.
Next game was the first Saturday game. The Titans beat the Bulldogs 32-20.
For the amount of possession that the Gold Coast had, they probably should have been up a little bit more in this game early. When they got in the 20 metres, the Gold Coast looked good. But Canterbury wouldn't go away. Being at 18-10 at halftime, you know, they pretty much scored right on halftime, Canterbury. So that was a bit of a, not so much a killer blow, but I think that would have sapped a little bit of confidence away from the Gold Coast to sort of go in, you know, up, you know, possibly 12, to be up maybe 18-6 instead of 18-10. So I thought that would have taken a little bit of confidence away from them, but I just thought this game was just one of those rarities where especially in the first half, there wasn't a whole lot of people, not a lot of stop start. Especially with the new rules and everything like that, there is a lot of stop start and, you know, now with the new enforcement of the head high and things like that, it's definitely a lot more stop start, but this was very continuous footy. For most of that first half, and you could see it was taking its toll. Like there was a lot of players gassed at halftime.
So it's funny you say that, right? In terms of the stop start and everything like that. So like we'll deep dive into this maybe next week or the week after, but I just want to deep dive into, and I'm gonna like fully look into it and research it. It's mind-boggling that they want to sort of do this. This would be a quick summary. The mind-boggling they want to do this because they wanted to speed up the game. They decreased the interchanges. It's just honestly, I'll deep dive into this further later, but it feels like nothing's changed, personally.
I said it last week, reap what you sow.
Yep. Yeah, that's
exactly this, this is what you wanted, right? Get the skillful players into it. You know, get your number sevens and number sixes and number ones. You know, your small guys, they're the ones that put bums on seats. But I'll say it to them blue in the face. If you can have the best halves in the world, but if they ain't got a good forward pack, they're going nowhere.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Did you look? I think Titans did enough to win this game. I think there's still a lot they need to do in terms of themselves in the top eight.
Defensive, I think it was AJ Brimson might have even said it last week. I can't remember. I think it was, he said, look, it was on the Matty John show. Like he said there, he seems to think that they have the right defensive principles, but they're just not executing them on the field. So I'm not sure how you say that you've got the right defensive principles if they're not being executed, you know, right on the field.
True.
Or whether or not you've just got the right, you know, personnel to be able to execute these supposedly, you know, good defensive principles. So, they do have a lot to sort of work on defensively. But like you said, the Gold Coast, they're very good in attack. The past 2 weeks they've been missing one of their biggest attacking weapons in David Fifita. So, look, when he comes back next week, I think he's going to have a lot of sort of, you know, built up frustration, and he's going to have a lot of energy. I expect him to have an 80-minute demolition job next week for the Gold Coast. That he hasn't played for the last couple of weeks. I thought that Canterbury, in some patches, and this is a reason why they're losing a lot. Boy, they play some dumb football.
I don't like that.
We said it last week. They should have beaten Canberra last week. There's fourth tackle kicks. You cannot tell me that Avarillo and Wakeham are better options than Kyle Flanagan. You just
they're
can't
not.
Tell me
That's
that.
What you
they're,
said.
Not.
I, they're not. I don't like their halves. And that, to me, that doesn't instill confidence in someone just dropping them personally. But,
no,
you know,
exactly.
And this,
I mean, when the kid comes back,
said this last week.
You just hope that he's playing, you know, he's getting confidence and playing well in New South Wales Cup. But
I just hope he's just got in the back of his mind, oh, well, it doesn't matter. I know I'm going to be there next year. And Matt Burton's going to come in and compliment me very well. And those two are going to be good. Like, I reckon Bulldogs will be sneakily good next year. They'll probably need a couple of more signings. But I've just seen enough of Matt Burton to go, Jesus Christ, that kid's good. He's only 21.
Exactly. Yeah, so he was unbelievable on Sunday. Look, that's, I mean, you know, just to sort of, you know, just to elaborate on that dumb footy. They had like two forward passes while the Gold Coast were down to 12 men. Just could not capitalize while they had, sin binnings, while they had Dylan Harper in the bin. The fourth tackle options, they just weren't trying to stretch the Gold Coast out. When you've got the one-man advantage, you've got to try and stretch them out a little bit, and that's how you poke holes through. Then they weren't doing that. Two forward passes, they're trying to play so flat to try and keep them on their toes a little bit. It's like, no, you've got to stretch them out. Not try and play flat, especially when you've got a little bit of, you know, a confidence problem, and you've got a little bit of, you know, creativity problem in the halves. Like, I like the confidence of them, but it just wasn't the right way to sort of play against 12 men.
I don't mind the confidence of them, but I don't know if it's enough for them to win a game personally.
No,
before we move on, what do you think of your boy? We've quietly sort of moved there, but Issei Masters playing in the centres.
Look, I guess it's the same sort of thing. Like, they're not going to improve at all defensively with Issei Masters there.
That was a quiet move, wasn't it?
I don't remember. Look, yeah, I think it's a shrewd move. I think he's a terrific attacking centre, but teams figure out that he's a pretty poor defender, and he makes very poor choices in the defensive line. He likes to he doesn't slide very well, and that's a bad thing. And he springs up out of the line a lot and leaves his winger out on an island a lot. He might have just needed that change of scenery again. I don't know what Justin Holbrook has sort of said to him. He's he hasn't had those defensive lapses just yet. But I hope they don't come, because he's a good player. I thought he was a good signing for the Cowboys a couple of years ago. Obviously, that was a gigantic failure his time up here. But yeah, I hope that he can sort of find a home there at the Gold Coast.
I think so too. I think it was a through buy. I don't remember hearing much about it. Obviously. Yeah, exactly. Obviously, the Cowboys have just said, yeah, you know, you're free to look somewhere else. And
he was free to walk. So. Yeah, absolutely was free to walk.
Next game was the Broncos beating the Roosters, who were paying $9 to win. Just to throw Robin in here.
The Roosters were paying $1.07. So if you put them in a multi, they wouldn't have even, I don't know how many cents that would have put your multi up.
Nothing. But 34-16.
Yeah, essentially nothing.
34-16 to the Broncos.
It was a boil over, an absolute boil over.
Yeah, it was a boil over. It started auspiciously for me that the Broncos seemed on in that first 10 minutes. They seemed just literally like a team. It felt like a team possessed. They did everything right.
They did everything right, and boy, didn't the referees help them out too, because throughout this game, they missed three absolutely blatant forward passes. There was a Tyson Gamble one that I can't remember who the forward was that they put through the hole. It was a meter and a half forward. What the hell are they paying referees and two touch judges for if you can't pick that up? Like that was unbelievable how the three officials missed any of these forward passes. They weren't even borderline. So, you know, they got a very good helping hand from the referees. I thought that Matt Lodge and Payne Huss was probably their best game as a duo in the front row. Obviously, Payne Huss as always played well. But this Matt Lodge, yeah, I think they both had 9 hit-ups in the first half. Like they were laying the platform, you know, for Gamble and Albert Kelly, who we both thought was channeling his inner Rick Steiner with his head attire I've sort of later found out that he's got a massive gash on his ear that he had to really cover up. But it looked like he was wearing some collegiate wrestling ear protectors and very very much looked like Rick Steiner. All he needed was a big handlebar mustache and would have been the splitting image of Rick Steiner.
But he did well. I'm sorry.
It's his first NRL game in 7 years.
I don't.
He was great.
But that just shows you. I just wanted to firstly say that if you're not good enough to play Tom Dearden, then just let him go to the Cowboys. If you had to pick a guy that hasn't played for 7 years, this is just a personal thing. If he's not good enough, send him.
I don't think they will, because they're going to be like the Panthers. The Panthers don't need Matt Burton. They don't need him. But they're going to keep him there because they need him for the Origin period.
Yeah, possibly. You know, that's a good point.
And the Broncos are just covering their asses if they need depth, if there's injuries at the half or anything like that. Like it would be foolish to throw him away, because it's not like the Cowboys are screaming out for another halves partner at the moment. Like they're getting by with what they've got at the moment, the Cowboys.
The reason I said that, because I'm out. I don't like Tyson Gamble. I don't like him as a player. I don't think he contributes anything. I think he's what we said last time. I think he's mouthy like a Josh Reynolds.
Oh my lord! He's sort of, I'm not so much hiding behind, but yeah, geez, he's hiding behind some big forwards there. You know, Tevita Pangai Jr., Payne Huss, Matt Lodge.
He's also hiding behind that mouth. I think people see that and some people get. I've heard some people talk about Tyson Gamble here. And I said, well, actually, forget that the talking, because you're seeing the talking and it might be like this like flashy thing over here.
Yeah.
But watch him actually play. He's not a good player. I'm out on him big time. And he's mouthy.
One of these days, he's going to write a check. His ass can't catch.
Someone's going to smack him.
Someone's gonna drop him. That's what's gonna happen, and then he's gonna throw Payne Huss in front of him and go, yeah, there you go, you deal with him.
He never did, but if he got said something smart after Jared Hargreaves in that game, Jared would have just smacked him. Open hands.
It looked like that. Looked like Victor Radley had a bee in his wallet this whole game. So it, the thing, whether or not the wrong thing he would have said to Victor Radley might have taken his head off.
Well, Victor Radley, I mean, obviously, it felt like everybody watched this game, by the way, too. Got sin bin twice in the game. Twice.
Put on report four times.
I have not seen someone get not only sin bin twice, sorry, not exact. I just said Sinbad, my God. Sin bin twice. That's an old comedian. Sin bin twice. But I've never seen someone get put on report four times.
Four times. Well, it popped up on the bottom of the screen there during that game that the last person to get binned twice in a game was Cameron Munster in the 2018 GF. So, obviously that's no mean feat, because like this could happen anyone the way that the rules are interpreted at the moment that they get binned. Yeah, they get binned twice in the one game. So I thought he was a little bit sort of too emotionally invested in this game. I don't know why. Like it maybe because Origin's coming up, and whether or not he sort of felt he had a point to prove. So he's trying to be that enforcer behind the likes of Talke Aho and Jared Weir Hargreaves. Trying to muscle up on everything, but he just got it so wrong. More often than not in this game.
Yeah, that's exactly right. What do you think, just with the Broncos? Like, I was trying to work out, how they won this game, really. It wasn't just the Sid Bins. I was trying to work out how they won this game. And there's a little bit of Albert Kelly, I guess, just a little bit of Albert Kelly. I definitely wasn't their number seven. Anyway, I just felt personally, I don't know. I think Isako, there's more to him than I thought there was. During this game.
And
yeah, but I wasn't.
Brisbane are basically going to, if they get who they want to get at fullback for next year and Nico Hines, that's basically just going to throw Jermaine Isako out onto the wing, and that's going to cover the loss of Xavier Coates. But it's I don't think that's a very good sign that you're sort of sending to Jermaine Isako, who's been one of their better players. He had that rocks and diamonds game against the Gold Coast a few weeks ago, but he come up more diamonds than rocks by the end of it. But he's a pretty solid fullback, and I think he's getting better as the season goes on.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, like you said it at the start of this, they're two front rows, and I have to throw, even though I'm not his biggest fan, Tuita Pengai Jr. was pretty good.
Oh man, he was a menace to Sam Walker, and I think that was part of the reason why the Roosters were a little bit flat, because boy, he was running a lot at Sam, and that's probably one of his sort of poorer games that he's had this year. Yeah. He threw the intercept, tried the Harbour Bridge pass just once too often, and David Mead sort of read it, towards the end of that. I think it was right before half time, and I think that really buoyed Brisbane going into the half, being up as essentially from being down 14-10 to being up 16-14 at half time. And yeah, to me that they had the Roosters rattled.
They just completed their sets well too. That was their biggest thing. That's probably the only compliment I'll give Tyson Gamble, is he can complete a set well. It's probably more Jake Turpin, but he did complete a set very well. They nearly had 95%. They only missed 3 out of the possible 42, so 39 of 42.
Yeah.
What is this? I mean, Roosters. What do you think? Forward, do you think it was just a blip? Do you think it was
I think it's a blip for the moment, but
wake up call?
That could be it. You've got a really good coach in Trent Robinson there, who should be able to keep them fairly level-headed, and this could just be a bit of a reality check. They've been playing really well since they've had, you know, injuries to key players, and now they're going to have suspensions also to key players. So they could be not so much very heavily affected, but they'll have a few guys out now for Origin, and they've also, that's what I mean, they've got Victor Radley, who could be sitting on the sideline for an extended period of time after this game. So they're really, really going to be tested over this sort of next 6 week period around, you know, with Origin and things like that, because once you start to lose guys like Tedesco and possibly Crichton, and now they've lost, you know, now they'll lose Victor Radley for, you know, several weeks. It could be up to, I think it's up to 6 weeks. If he fights and loses, so this is a big blow for them.
They are the most decimated side this year. That is the biggest lineage, and we'll talk about the Panthers later. The Panthers are just between those two teams, is that just Panthers don't seem to have anybody out, and the other side, the Roosters have everybody out. I mean, they had to play that young Joseph Suali in a game.
That's right. They had no choice, did they? I think that was his debut was overshadowed by, you know, the amount of garbage that happened in this game. You know, whether it was, you know, the three disgraceful forward passes that the referees missed, the bulk sin binnings, the Victor Radley, you know, sort of just being so ill disciplined and getting just too emotionally involved in this game, it sort of overshadowed, you know, Suali. And he made a couple of mistakes. Like he's 17. Like he's going to make mistakes. But there was a glimpse into the future.
Next game was the Storm beating the Raiders 34-10. And I personally was telling you, right now, that I was shitting myself for the first 20 minutes. I thought
after the first 15 or so, you would have been like, all right, this isn't quite going according to plan. Especially, you know, basically the Canberra scoring on the first set with Bailey Simonson. So you just...
That was a beautifully run set too.
Oh, unreal.
Especially
so early in the game, you're just like, what the hell is this?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was beautiful. And then Elliot Whitehead's try in the 13th minute, I went, oh, Jesus Christ.
It was a wake-up call. You know, that was two early slaps in the face to Melbourne. Yeah. And they responded.
But then, I mean, on the flip side, it was 12-10 at the half. Unfortunately for Raiders, they're just not second-half team.
It's happened every single week. They're continuing to prove that. They're just not... They're a 40-minute side, and they're a first half side. Like Melbourne, the thing is, you're playing against Melbourne. Like I know it's down in Canberra and everything, but Melbourne just flipped the switch. Like once they had that early, you know, sort of slap and bit of a wake up call, Melbourne flipped the switch. They turned the screws on them, and they kicked Canberra out of this game by just constantly making them come off their own line and kicking deep within their own half. They just could not get any decent field position in that second half. That was probably more a product of Melbourne being so good in that second half rather than Canberra being so bad, which is what they've been in the second halves of games recently. Yeah. Canberra have, but Melbourne, Melbourne were just a typical, you know, Melbourne type performance. You know, kick you out of existence. Try and keep the ball in play though, but make you force it off your own line.
They had a few players out as well. They still got Pappenhausen out. They had Cameron Munster out. No, Harry Grant in this game as well.
Oh yeah, but the cheese. He controlled.
Oh, I know. It was the other way. It was Nico Hines was brilliant in this game.
He was great too. So was Masafa Solomona. He was great.
I hope.
Well, 6'7". He's 6'7".
Of course, Solomona.
They were talking to him after the game, and he comes up to the podium. They couldn't even fit him in the screen of the camera. They would have had to move the camera back 6 meters so they could get him in the screen.
But Nico Hines can kick a ball too.
Hey, he can kick a goal.
Yeah, but if we, I don't want to lose him. That's what I'm getting at.
You're not going to be able to keep him.
You don't think he can play a centre? He looks too elusive, doesn't he?
The Broncos are sniffing around, and he's dead. I can only assume that Melbourne will be trying to offer him something. You know, what do you want to do? Do you want to stay here and play in the centres, or do you want to go else? Do you want to play fullback? And I think the offer of playing fullback, I think might be too enticing.
And I also think
it depends on Melbourne's cap situation, how much they can offer him.
Yeah, and I don't think they can offer enough compared to Broncos. I don't think they can offer enough compared to Broncos. And
I don't think so.
And I think he did come out and say not long ago, he basically said, like, Broncos, come give me an offer kind of thing. So
yeah, possibly.
Next game was in Dubbo, the first Sunday game. The Panthers just drilling the Rabbitohs, 56-12.
The Dubbo destruction.
My God.
Penrith, they're on another planet.
They are. There's not much to say in this game.
They just crushed, absolutely crushed a genuine premiership threat.
And this is two games
destroy
now.
Destroy them.
I don't know. I think I'm out on the Rabbitohs because this is the second time they've beat a premiership heavyweight. They got beaten by 50 points. So they get beat, but like Melbourne scored them over 50, and Panthers scored them over 50. So
I think when the 50 was it the 50-0 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
No team has ever won a premiership after getting beaten by 50 points.
Yeah, but
I think it's being beat by 50 points, something like that. So
they'll
have to rewrite history. Latrell Mitchell was back. I didn't think he had the sort of effect that they would have liked that he had on this game, but the Rabbitohs just had no possession. Like just 41% of possession, just didn't do a whole lot with when they had the ball because they just gassed from just tackling so much.
Yeah.
And the Panthers are relentless. They're completing at nearly 90%. And they pummel you into oblivion. They've got a forward pack that will just bash you into dust.
That's how I'd put this game. That's how I felt with this game. Is that they're literally Penrith are relentless. I love that this game was free of any 10 minutes or any send offs, which was really good. Personally, if that's the way it is, that's the way it is. But they were absolutely relentless. There's no other way to put it.
They put the foot on the throat and they don't give a crap who it is. They'll put the foot on the throat and they'll just take you to town. They're just not playing to sort of once they get into a decent lead to ease off. They don't care whether it's a genuine premiership contender like the Rabbitohs, or whether it's a cellar dweller, whether it's Cronulla, or whether it's whether it's the Bulldogs, that don't care. They'll just go out there and they're just in it to, and they're embarrassing teams, and that's the thing. They're just embarrassing teams.
It's not up yet, but I'm telling you now, when it comes up, Nathan Cleary is going to be the shortest priced Dally M favorite in years.
I can only assume so. That you, the only thing that will hurt him is Origin.
I don't think it will.
However many weeks it will be. If he misses 3 weeks, if he misses 4 weeks, if he gets rested after Origin, it'll just be those opportunities for points.
It will be, and that's where two of us, Sheck always comes into play during that sort of time, because he's still up there in the top three or four.
Right. Yeah.
He's on an absolute another level in terms of a number seven. He really is.
It's another two levels. Like it's another three levels. It's scary. Just the play that he's doing at the moment. And you look at him slotting into the number seven at State of Origin level, and him having just as good, if not better, forward pack in front of him, better weapons outside, a fullback that he can run off and play off. It's like that's going to be real scary.
The last game was the Sea Eagles Manly beating the Eels 28-6.
I guess Manly was sort of channeling their inner Bob Fulton They were playing on very raw emotion. I think it was only a couple of hours before the kickoff of this game that it come out that Bob Fulton had passed away. And I think Des Haslam knew him pretty well from his playing days at Manly. So I think this sort of hit home pretty hard for anyone wearing a Manly Warringah jersey. And look, they come out and they were physical, and that they did not let up on Parramatta. I thought it was one of Parramatta's probably worst performances of the year.
Yeah. Oh, easily.
They just got bashed into oblivion. Not to the turn of 56-12 like the Panthers did, but they were so physical in this game.
Yeah.
That Parramatta just looked like that they weren't up for it and they couldn't match it.
They couldn't match it because it was pretty even across the board in terms of the stats, but that's how I felt. They couldn't match it. And Bankwest Stadium's turning into one of my favourite stadiums. I just love seeing that sort of close to being full.
I just want to see them fill it more. You just want to see them fill it more.
It's 24,000. It's not too bad. I know they can fill 40.
That's a pretty good crowd. But they should be getting that every week there.
Yeah. Well, these are two
20,000 there every week for Parramatta games.
This is a perfect Sunday afternoon, two teams in Sydney kind of game.
Oh, absolutely.
I'd go and see this any day of the week.
This wasn't a derby. This wasn't a derby like they tried to build up Friday night or anything. But yeah, this game had it all, and I think it really hit home for anyone pulling on that Manly jumper that afternoon, and they played heavy on emotion. I think they got a pretty good rev up from Hasler pre-game.
That's how I put this game, is that just the Parramatta Eels were completely out muscled and out enthused.
Just the physicality. Manly were up for it, and Penrith and Parramatta just couldn't go with them, unfortunately. Did you see the hit that Saab put on Mike Acevo in the second half? Mike Acevo has got legs thicker than Jason Saab. he sat him on his ass.
That's crazy.
It's just like, man, that's just what. Listen, that's what enthusiasm, that's what raw emotion will do. Yeah, and that's what you can do instead of like Victor Radley trying to get too involved in the game on Saturday night and was collecting people high and dropping people and just playing a little bit of like a loose cannon. But yeah, that hit by Saab on Sivo was the hit of the round. That was unbelievable. Oh,
ridiculous. Yeah, that's exactly right. So move on to our studs and duds of the week. The reason I didn't go much into this game, because my stud was, obviously you could give it a Cleary, but goddamn, Tom Dravojevic running over 300 meters. Wasn't just that he run over three, he did 31 runs.
He's a machine. Like, it's just, I don't think of, other than you look at players that have had just the most unbelievable red hot form, even over the last decade or so, the Jared Hayne, and that's sort of not the best name to be sort of putting out there at the moment, but the Jared Hayne, going into the 2008, 2009 finals and grand final, he was on another planet. The Michael Morgan of 2017 was just on another planet. Carried an 8-seeded Cowboys to
interesting.
But do you know what I mean? To an unexpected grand final. And Trebojevic is doing that this year. For the Seagulls.
That is a very, very good way of putting that. That's true.
It's the most unbelievable red hot form that you've seen. But I don't even think you've seen form, out of the supposed game's best player in Tedesco. Like this, dominant like this. It's unbelievable what he's doing, and it's kind of crap that he's not going to be able to. He'll have no shot of unseating Tedesco and playing at fullback.
We'll talk about that later. But yeah, no, I don't think so either. Who was your start of the week?
I'll go back to Friday night and Reece Walsh. Mm-hmm. Like he was he He really elevated himself. He's only 18.
Yeah.
He was a real standout in that game. I think he ended up having 4 line break assists, 3 try assists, and a try himself. And that try that he scored, he was sort of feeling himself a little bit in the corner. I think it was close to half time. He sort of a little bit of that New Zealand flair sort of come out. Yeah, had his tongue hanging out and looked like he dove from about 5 meters out and then slid across the try line. He was just one of those, sort of stand up and take a look at me sort of games. And I think the team that would be standing up and taking a look at him would be the Brisbane Broncos. It's like, boy, why did we let this kid go?
Yeah, that's exactly right. How about your dud of the week?
Look, I think it's pretty obvious, and that's Victor Adley. I've no idea why this game would come out in, this type of play would come out in his game this close. An Origin jersey is on the line for him. It's befuddling why he comes out. He just couldn't simmer down throughout the whole game.
No, there was a chip on his shoulder for some reason.
Put on report 4 times.
Yeah, there was definitely a chip. There was a chip on his shoulder for some absolute reason.
What's the skipper doing? So somebody's got Tedesco, or somebody has got to come up to him and go, "Oi, just tone it down. You're killing us. You're killing us."
Yeah. No, that's fair. Yeah, that's fair. It didn't make sense because he was a walk on. Depending on where he was going to sit, but he was a walk on number 1-17 on the New South Wales squad was a walk on.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and that's what I mean. He's cost himself at least 2 games.
That's exactly right. Mine was just overall, I cannot work out because they were in really red hot form is what Parramatta did. I can't work out. It could have been emotion. I didn't think about it, to be completely honest, because he's just having a couple of hours ago before Bob Fulton, passing away. Still, irregardless, and I'm not saying that's bad. They're not disputing anything like that, but they were in very, very good form. I don't know what happened. They played the Roosters last week, and they played the Roosters very well.
I don't know.
I don't know what this means. I don't know. It's great for Manly. I just don't know what it means for Parramatta going forward. I don't know if that was
With the Roosters, maybe a blip on the radar because they've been pretty good and pretty consistent, Parramatta.
It's interestingly enough, they've got the Rabbitohs next week and they're outsiders. So it's weird. That's third versus fourth, mind you. But it's weird. They're outsiders. It's at ANZ, so you really, we're not talking that far away from each other, really, at the end of the day.
There's no home ground advantage for anybody at Stadium Australia. Like, let's be honest, there's no home ground advantage. So it's a bit of a 50-50, a bit of a toss up for that game.
See this week if they don't get past the Rabbitohs like that. Yeah.
Well, and the thing will be, that's the part of it. And here's my sort of little bit of a take about what's happening, with the rules that are being enforced at the moment. So all of these games now are being decided. They're being decided by the players, but they're not being decided by the players, if that makes any sense, because they're forcing the referees to, and whether it's the referees on field or whether it's the bunker, to take a look at foul play. And In the Newcastle Cowboys game, it had come out that Newcastle, I think it was like 30 minutes into the game, had only used 1 interchange, and they were allowed to have like 6 free interchanges.
Yeah,
because of the new rules at the moment with foul play, headshots, people being put on report, you are allowed to have a free interchange now. Let's not kid ourselves on what a lot of sport is being fueled by at the moment, and that's being fueled by punters, and that's being fueled by betting companies. And yes, we all like a punt, we all like a gamble, but if you're taking the game out of the players' hands and it's being decided by referees more often than not, then you're going to have casual fans not want to watch, and you're going to have those same casual fans with sports bet accounts, with Ned's accounts, with PointsBet accounts, that are just simply not going to want to gamble on these games because you got to do is have a look. The Broncos, $9 outsiders. Like, nobody would have been putting any money on that. So you start to take away the gambling money and the gambling aspect of rugby league or any sport.
Any sport.
Philandes is not going to have to worry about not having a game in 10 or 15 years because of players, you know, having health problems. They won't have a game because nobody is going to be there to watch it. They're not going to have any money injection into the game because it's not going to be profitable for companies like betting agencies and, you know, whether or not to a lesser extent, whether it's casinos or anything of that have got a license to print money.
Yeah, no, that's actually a very fair point, considering Philandes has come from a, you know, racing.
That's right, it's come from horse racing.
Which is,
you don't have people betting on horse racing.
That if you don't bet on horse racing doesn't exist, literally. Right. Melbourne Cup doesn't exist.
That's the fine line that's being tread here at the moment. And you see people doing it more and more often, staying down, yeah, to try and milk penalties off the referee because that is just so important now. And it doesn't matter. You could be a favourite in the game or not. But if you've got a couple of loose cannons on your team, and once again, I'll bring it back to Victor Radley. Like if you just have a guy that's gone a little bit rogue, then it's fueling the stop start nature of the game at the moment now too, with all the stop starts, the bunker looking into foul play, and then all of a sudden that person who gets hit on the mush. Oh, well, free interchange beauty. Guess what? We don't have to use any of our own interchanges because we just got a free one because of the foul play that's happened and that person has now been put on report.
Do you think, because this will tie into what we're talking about next, do you think this changes what happens in the Origin and the Origin's sort of an exception?
If they're serious, I honestly do not know what could happen in this Origin series.
Well, if they're serious like about it, they can't just do it for the NRL and not the Origin.
Well, it's the same old crap that they always come out with all the time. Oh, you know, especially with finals and with Origins.
It's brutal.
The speed is up there. That means fatigue is going to be high, but it's a different game. It's more physical. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
It's more brutal. So. Yeah, we'll segue into what we think, what the New South Wales / Queensland squads are going to be. I'll let you go first, and I'll see what you have come up with. I've got a Queensland one in my head, sort of, but you go ahead.
I mean, this wasn't terribly hard, but I guess the forward pack was sort of a little bit the one that sort of that gave me a little bit of trouble. So obviously, Caelan Ponga is going to be the fullback. Your two wingers for me are Xavier Coates and Val Holmes. I think they basically picked themselves. One center picks himself, and that's Dane Gagai. I didn't really want to have to put this guy in the centers, but I think that's where he's going to play, and Kurt Capewell, so he'll be the other center. I'd prefer to play him in the second row, but Queensland's sort of down a little bit, I think, on quality outside backs at the moment. There's obviously Philip Sammy and Kyle Feld and guys like that who could maybe, and even Corey Oates, who could maybe fill the void there. But I just thought, you know, that Kurt Capewell with a bit of young and up and comer, I thought he'd be a little bit more suited, especially now he's got the Origin experience from last year. The halves, you know, pretty easy. Munster at 6, DCE at 7. So for me, I had to make a few changes since, you know, obviously Josh Papalihi isn't going to be able to be there for selection. And also Lindsay Collins is not going to be there for selection for the front row for Queensland. So Mo Fotowaka from the Gold Coast as one, and Christian Welch, I think, as the other starting front rower. Mm-hmm. Harry Grant picks himself at number 9. I think Jai Arrow will be perfect. He always is at that 13 at lock. And then you've got Felice Kafusi and Jaden Sewer as your second rowers. Now, the bench is, for me, extremely power-packed, and I did it purposely that way. So Ben Hunt's going to be a utility player. I think that's pretty easy. Then you're going to have Tino Fasuamala'ali. You're going to have Jared Wallace. And you're going to have the... Demolition Man, and David Fifita. So it's a bit of a large bench, but I think they can squeeze a bit of juice out of David Fifita and play him a little bit longer, you know, than maybe 45, 50 minutes. I think they might be able to get a little bit more out of him. And to bring him off the bench, I think would be good for him because, you know, you'll have those tired players, and I think he'll be able to work some of them over, especially with Tino as well.
Who was, just a couple of things, who was your forwards again?
To start?
Yeah.
So Fodder Waker and Welch.
Okay.
We'll start up front.
Okay.
And then that's what I mean. So you've got a sort of small, or you know, a smaller, you know, second row slash lock, you know, with Jai Arrow, Jaden Sewer, and Felice Kaufusi, but they should be able to still get the job done in that early 20 minute period, and then you bring your heavy hitters on, after 20-25 minutes.
The only one that I was, well, it's not really questioning, but I'm just wondering, does he warrant a spot at all? Is your boy Kyle? Well, not your boy, but Kyle Felt. Do you push? I couldn't put Kirk Capewell maybe the 18th, and I was going to, I don't know, but if Valentine Holmes goes to the center, and then I think Kyle Felt's done remarkably well.
He does, but man, I just as much as I love him, I can't trust his hands. And you can't give away cheap possession. Like, he showed in previous years that he's a good high ball threat, but just at this point in time, he's still. I think, you know, sometimes he makes some difficult catches, but sometimes he can make the easy look difficult. So I think Coates, because of that previous experience last year, I'd love to see Kyle Fell get an Origin jersey, and I hope he does. Oh. But
I'm saying get rid of Capewell. I don't know if Valentine Holmes is a center. That's the only problem with it.
No, well, you know, Queensland have experimented with, you know, different people at center. They played Michael Morgan at center. You know, so I don't think it really matters where, especially in the back line, really, where you can put those representative players. You know, guys like Val Holmes, you could put him in the centers, and I think he'd be fine. So. I'd really like to see Kyle Fell get an Origin jersey. I'd just like to see his hands be a little bit better, because you can't turn over possession on drop balls from bombs.
Like, no, that's exactly can't. Right. Yeah, that's exactly right.
And at this point in time, yeah. I would trust Coates and Holmes a little bit better. And I'd carry somebody like an AJ Brimson as your 18th man.
Yeah, that's not bad. I just think he was only ruled out last year because of injury. I just think it's just a personal thing. Think he deserves it, Kyle Felt.
I think personally Kyle Felt should have been there last year.
Wasn't he injured or something?
That's right. He was injured. He had a groin injury and he had a shoulder injury. So that's, I mean, he basically had to, he ruled himself out. He should have. And probably most likely would have been in the Origin, you know, side last year if he didn't have those two injuries. So, but that's, I mean, just this year, I don't know. You can't even if he's catching, you know, 80-85% of high balls, I still don't think that's it. It's just the turnover factor in Origin. You cannot put, especially with this blue side, you cannot put your team under pressure and. If all he's got to do is drop the very first ball, and they'll go at him the whole game, and they'll cut one side of the field off.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't know. I think, it's a solid side. I mean, really, at the end of the day, it's a very, very solid side. I think it's interesting you put Fifita on the bench. I think that's that could work wonders. That could be a massive X-factor.
I just want to see him come on and just be an absolute bulldozer.
I could see, you know, even
at
Tino
the back
personally.
End of the half. I think that's, yeah. The, even if it's the back end of both halves,
I could even see, honestly. I kind of thought Tino could even start in the 13, but I think he hasn't done enough.
I thought about that, but I don't think Jai Arrow would have the same impact off the bench.
Jai Arrow needs to be there. Jai Arrow definitely needs to be there, 100%.
He can play 80 minutes.
So my side It was hard. I just changed so much. Where do you think I've changed so much? It's pretty obvious, but where do you think I've changed so much?
Second rowers?
Well, that and even, like, the centres. The centres were the hardest to pick.
Yeah, that's the thing, but you're not picking traditional centres, are you?
No, of course not. We can't. No. That's the problem. So I had, Tedesco at the back. I mean, I thought that was pretty straightforward. On the wings, Josh Adokar, and I think he's slightly done enough, but at the moment, I'm going to put Daniel Tupou in there.
Ooh.
Slightly. I don't know. Look, it's a hard one. Like, then it's not him, it was him slash Toto, if Toto is eligible. But see, I don't get
that. Pretty sure he is.
So if he's eligible, I would put, if he is, I kind of had Toto there, but I think they might just go with possibly old experience, you know.
Tried and true. So,
The centers I had, Tom Dvojevic, and
he's got to be there somewhere.
So does this other guy got to be there somewhere? And that's Latrell Mitchell.
Yeah, that's right.
So he has to be there somewhere, and I can only put him in the centers. The 5'8".
Contentious pick.
Well, I've put this guy purely because of how good his halfback is. And I put Jerome Luai there.
Jerome Luai.
Has to.
Club combination.
It's too good of a combination to split up.
It's too tempting, isn't it?
Yep. Yep. The forwards were Payne Haas picks himself. Well, that guy is...
Yeah.
I don't care what the Broncos need to pay him whatever he wants because
exactly.
They were really losing him. Payne Haas and Junior Paulo in the front row. And look, he's done enough, but Damien Cook in the centres. In the dummy half.
I don't think
that's gonna change.
Incumbency. I think he'll be there, but I reckon if he has a semi lackluster performance, he'll be one of the first. I reckon he might be one of the first guys that they might turf. Who do you put in? Who do you bring in? Do you bring in Coruscant? I don't know. You know, Coruscant's only been back for a couple of weeks, and I don't think he's lighting the world on fire at dummy half with Penrith at the moment. How good they're going? He's being buried by, you know, the amount of good work that everybody else is doing at the moment.
There's probably no one else, and it's incumbent. And Damien Cook can play well with a good side. So, look, it's incumbent, and at the moment, I only say that at the moment because, you know, like, this was a guy that everyone was touting was going to be, like, the best number nine, and he's, I wouldn't say regressed a lot, but he's definitely regressed this year.
He hasn't been as good this year.
No.
A lot of people thought he was going to be the dummy half in the competition that was going to exploit, these new faster ruck rules, and he just hasn't really done that.
My second rowers end up being Cameron Murray and Angus Crichton.
They're solid picks. They're tough ones to pick.
The lock at the moment, I think he'll stay there. I think he's done enough just because of their red hot form.
I mean, you could even slot him. Yeah, you could slot him into the second row, and you can put either of those second rowers at lock. I don't think it really matters.
Now, the bench was the hardest. Because I don't know what's happening with injuries, with suspensions, with everything. But at the moment, my number 14, because I think you have to goddamn have this guy on his side, is Ryan Papenhuyzen.
If he's healthy. Does he even play this week? I know he'll want to play this week, because if he doesn't play this week, that's basically going to rule him out of Origin selection.
Yeah, he'll have to play. Anyway. He'll have to play this week. And look, it'll be contentious and everything and blah blah blah, but I think he has to be on the side.
Oh yeah, he's got to be there.
And mind you, everyone, Victor Radley would go anywhere in this 1-17, but I don't think he's going to be there for Origin 1 at least.
He will absolutely not be there for 1 and 2.
My number 15 was, I mean, again, I think he's done just enough as Jake Dubojevic.
Yes.
Purely because his brother, like, they're just, I mean, they do work so well. They really do work so well.
He's got to be there. He's got to be there. Jake's got to be there. He just has to.
The other forward that needs to be there, because I think he's the only glaring light in this side so far this year, is Daniel Saifidi for the Knights. Because the guy just, I don't know, he's consistent. It's probably the best way to put it.
He's outshining Clemmer at the moment, but yeah, he's clearly Newcastle's best forward.
Now, I don't know if I was going to, the last pick, the last pick was hard because, because it was hard because I didn't know if I should rule one player out completely just because the way they're playing or like then go with another forward. So I end up going with another forward. And because he's playing pretty good, and I went Regan Campbell-Gillard from the Eels. But that basically, to me, then
big bench.
Yeah, great bench, I think. Very good bench. But you still got Ryan Pappenhausen there. The only thing that completely rules out altogether is Jack Whiten.
That's right.
I just don't know. I couldn't find it, personally.
I think if you're putting...
You can't put him in the centres.
It's either that you can put him in the centres with Latrell Mitchell and then you take out Daniel Tupou and you put Trbojevic on the wing. But Trbojevic will be totally wasted out on the wing.
That's the only way you can put him in there. I had to put him in the centres and then I thought Tupou. So Daniel Tupou, Brian Toto was my, like, I don't know which way to go. And the other one was... And this could possibly change as well, but Regal Campbell-Gillard and Tyson Frizzell was my other one for Regan Campbell. I don't know which way to go there, but I think having that
Campbell-Gillard's probably in a little bit better form. I think Tyson Frizzell sort of to slip off a little bit.
He started the season well, Frizzell, but
yeah, see, I think he started to start
to
slide.
It could end up being, personally, if Pappenhausen's not there, Jack Whiten will probably end up getting that 14
slot. Well, that's right. If Pappenhausen doesn't play this week, then Whiten will have the 14. Easy.
Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, that's you can't. That's, I mean, you can't really go wrong with any of the positions. You just can't. There's too many guys that are in form that are eligible for New South Wales.
But their biggest problem with our side, and I know you're underdogs and blah, 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 but... Dane Gay Guy knows how to expose centers that aren't proper centers, and that's what's possibly going to happen again.
Yeah, it might do.
He does it every year. This is why I don't care about the rest of it. The centers are the hardest positions because we don't have, you know, true out and out centers. Like the last time we had really good ones was Buddy Mark Gasnier and who was the other St. George one? They were like
Matt Cooper.
They were like, you know, true
centers. But they're traditional centers. You know, you even go back further. You go Matt Gidley, Mark Hughes, Adam McDougall. Guys like that are centers.
Gay Guy's a true center. Gay Guy's not
he
a fullback.
He's so wasted. I hate it when they put him on the wing. I'm not the biggest Rabbitohs fan in the world, but I really dislike when they waste Gay Guy out on the wing. It's silly.
So that's going to be our biggest problem is that while we've put like basically 16 number ones in that side.
Yeah, well, you got to find a spot for your 16 number ones, and it could have been 17 number ones because you can't put Clint Gutson in there as well.
Well, that's another one. I mean, you can't not have Tedesco's done enough, and you can't not have Tom Dvojevic there, and I think Latrell.
You can't not have Latrell. You can't not have Pappenhausen if he's healthy.
Well, that's what I mean. There's
guys that are there
God
that
damn,
you cannot.
God damn, we got some number ones.
It's very difficult.
So it'll be interesting. I guess we'll see.
We've got our teams written down. We'll see how close we are to, you know, to getting those right when they're named. I guess next week.
I personally would love Brian Toto there over Daniel Tupou, just because of what he can do.
I'm a little surprised by Tupou. I would have thought
just because of incumbency, and I don't know the whole Toto, like, you know, like if he's eligible and all that, blah blah blah.
I'm pretty sure Toe is.
If he's eligible, I guarantee that's the, you said Penrith. Penrith are going to have about 6 or 7 or even 8 players that are going to be away for Origin.
Yeah, could be.
So, you know, they are. You threw Capewell in there too. So,
he'll be there.
God damn, they're going to be decimated. But, well, that'll do it, I guess, this week.
That's the only way they're going to lose.
Good point. Good point. Anyway, they didn't lose. Yeah, that's true. Don't forget
where... They're not going to lose next week.
Nah, they're not.
Well, you never know. It could be a boil over like the Broncos did to the Roosters this week. You never know.
$16. You should probably actually. It's probably not bad to throw a 10 on around there. Just to...
What are the Bulldogs paying? $10.
$16.
Cash.
I'd say throw a tenner on there and just see what's what. But anyway.
Cash.
No, sorry. Now it's pushed out to $17 and Penrith are playing $1.01.
Probably not bad.
I might do that. Anyway,
see. Right. Yeah, we'll find out the Origin teams. After next round, like that name. I think Queensland normally tries to get in there first and names them on a Monday night, and I think New South Wales names them on a Tuesday. So we'll find out. This time next week, whether or not we are correct and what we've got, and now we start going into the time of year where there's going to be multiple buys and only four games a week.
Don't forget, we've got all our socials out there. Twitter at Final Play Pod. Facebook is Final Play Podcast. You can get our podcast everywhere, including gimco.com.au, where I think you wanted to... Is that NFL one, Phil, yet?
I'm just about to check right now. I'm hoping that it's got a little bit better. Last time I had a look, it was... there was still like 17 spots to go, so there's only like half the teams done. So I'm just trying to filibuster here a little bit while my internet is going extremely slow, and we have 16 spots to go. So it's super. It's only $60.
Yeah.
It's $60. Not everybody's got a disposable $60.
I'm very there purely because it's been sitting there for a while, and there's value. There's definitely value.
It's super value. Look, they've even got the latest NBA one that's up there. It's $70, and it's got some good products from this year. So
perfect timing.
Yeah, there's still 11 spots left.
That's value. That is definitely value.
That's cash. So there's still 11 spots to go on that. They've still got their NRL breaks there as well. There's still 8 spots to go on the latest NRL break. That's generally through Eureka, but you can also get amongst it on gimco.com.au as well. So if you're into any kind of sports and sports trading cards, you've got they've got you covered. There's NFL, NBA and NRL up there at the moment with spots up for grabs. So do yourself a favor, get on it. It's super fun to sort of watch the cards get broken and all the boxes getting busted. It's super, super fun.
Well, my name's Jason, legs bigger than Jason Saab Smith, because that was awesome. When you
said that. Like that.
Yeah, that was good. I couldn't get past that. That was too good. I love that.
Oh, man, that was such a ridiculous hit. Like, and Saab, he knew it too. Like, after he hit him, he turned around and he's just like, oh, yeah, I just did that. That's what confidence does. So, I'm Miles. Get on to gimco.com.au. Shameless plug, Plum. So, get onto those cards.
All right. Have a good week, everyone.
See ya. Bring on Origin.